This is Standing Watch. And now, Evangelist Norbert Link.
Well, greetings, everyone. And welcome back to our Standing Watch program. It has always become a routine for the Vatican to ignore, dispute, or clarify something which Pope Francis allegedly has said. And the most recent example, perhaps, is his alleged statement that all dogs go to heaven when they die. Now, the Vatican was quick to explain that he never really said that, even though they had to admit that John Paul II apparently said something to that effect. But Pope Francis must have said something. And the fact that he has adopted the name Francis or Franciscus is also very telling, because Franciscus or Francis was, of course, somebody who had great love for animals. Now, there is something which goes far beyond the question whether or not he made that statement. I'd like to read to you from USA Today an article which was published December 12th saying this: "The question of whether animals go to heaven has been debated for much of the Church's history. Pope Pius IX, who led the Church from 1846 to 1878, longer than any other pope, strongly supported the doctrine that dogs and other animals have no consciousness. Pope John Paul II appeared to reverse Pius in 1990, when he proclaimed that animals do have souls and are as near to God as men are. But the Vatican did not widely publicize his assertion, perhaps because it so directly contradicted Pius, who was the first to declare the doctrine of papal infallibility in 1854. John Paul's successor, Benedict, seemed to emphatically reject his view in a 2008 sermon, in which he asserted that when an animal dies, it just means the end of existence on earth. And now comes Pope Francis with a dubious view, dubious insofar as it's not quite clear yet as to what he actually believes, what he allegedly said. But you see, the point is, my friends, that neither animals nor human beings have an immortal soul. And if you have any doubts about that, please ask for our free booklet on Do We Have an Immortal Soul? So that means that when animals or men die, they don't go to heaven, they don't go anywhere except into the grave. And of course, insofar as man is concerned, they are awaiting for the resurrection from the dead, and if they died in Christ, then when Christ returns, they will be resurrected to become an immortal God being, entering as born again members of the God family, that very family. You know, other statements have been made by the Pope, Pope Francis, which the Vatican was either silent about or kind of tried to wiggle around somehow. Comments Pope Francis made about communism, he made about homosexuals, he made about communion for divorced and remarried church members. But then, that is kind of the routine, as I said, by the Vatican, even in times past. Benedict, Pope Benedict, one time gave a sermon, apparently, about the fact that the Bible doesn't teach there's any hell. And when the Vatican was approached about the sermon, they kind of responded by saying, yeah, well, he did say that, but we are going to look into that, and we are going to come back with a statement. And so far as I can tell, a statement was never issued. Now, Pope Francis himself made some contradictory statements. You might recall an article, which I believe I quoted before, in ABC News, published November 28, saying this: Pope Francis urged Muslim leaders to condemn the barbaric violence being committed in Islam's name against religious minorities in Iraq and Syria as he arrived in neighboring Turkey on Friday. He reaffirmed that military force was justified. Notice carefully, that was justified to halt the Islamic State group's advance. As religious leaders, we are obliged to denounce all violations against human dignity and human rights. As such, any violence which seeks religious justification warrants the strongest condemnation, because the omnipotent is a God of life and peace. Now, which one is it? Can't be both, right? Totally contradictory what he is saying. He also got more and more involved in political matters, and he is going to become more and more involved in those in the future. Breitbart reported on December 17 that the Vatican hosted the United States and Cuban delegations to discuss the political exchange of prisoners and improving their relationship going forward. In March, President Obama spoke about Cuba with Pope Francis during his visit to the Vatican and has continued to work with the Vatican during the process. The support of Pope Francis and the support of the Vatican was important to us, a senior administration official explained. But interestingly enough, Breitbart published another article the next day, December 18, saying this: Pope Francis' casual embrace of a communist regime contrasts sharply with the approach of Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict. Pope Francis' perspective on the Cuban embargo is nothing new to the Vatican. His active involvement in negotiations, however, is. And given his rhetorical differences with his predecessors on the evils of communism, that activism should cause nervousness among more traditional Catholics in the mold of John Paul II and Benedict. Regardless, most love Pope Francis. We could say almost everyone loves Pope Francis. Now, because most people don't really look deeper into what he is doing, what he is really up to, they look at the surface. And now notice here an article by USA Today from December 12 saying this: a recent survey finds Francis has a 60% approval rating worldwide and 78% approval in the United States. And also China may be growing fond of the pontiff. The Washington Post added on December 11, everyone, well, almost everyone, seems to love Pope Francis. The Roman Catholic Church's first Latin American pontiff has charmed global opinion since he ascended to his papal seat last year, championing causes of economic justice and the rights of migrants in a way that has endeared him to many outside of the Church's more than 1 billion faithful. The Pope's popularity is highest in the Vatican's traditional backyard, Europe. Moreover, a considerable number of non-Catholics like the Pope, even if he is not the head of their own congregations. The gap between Catholics and non-Catholics is narrowest in Europe. And now I'd like to give you a short, brief breakdown of statistics available to us. 84% of Europeans have a favorable view of the Pope. In Germany, 94% of Catholics and 77% of non-Catholics have a favorable view. It's similar for Italy, 97% and 71%. For Poland, 95% and 78%. And for France, 93% and 81%. You see, the Pope is trying to be a man for all people. And maybe in the slide you need to look at his comment that when two donkeys were given to him and presented to him, he said, oh yeah, I was fed on donkey's milk when I was a baby. Now maybe the Pope should be told that donkeys are unclean animals, not for human consumption, and so is donkey's milk. But again, since I entitled the program that Pope Francis is fighting against the Vatican and vice versa, now listen carefully to this article by the Washington Post dated December 22. Every year around this time, Pope Francis and the senior governing cardinals, bishops, and priests of the Vatican, referred to as the Curia, met for an exchange of Christmas greetings. This year, Pope Francis brought a little something extra for the Curia, a 15-point catalog of spiritual diseases he is seen among leadership there. The list of diseases included spiritual Alzheimer's, spiritual petrification, a feeling of being immortal, and funeral phase. The Pope also blasted gossiping among officials as a form of satanic assassination. The Pope may have made an oblique reference to the sex abuse scandals while discussing a disease of a closeness which he said was a cancer which threatens the harmony of the body and causes a lot of evil and scandal, especially towards our small brothers and sisters. Now listen carefully to the next statement. The Vatican's English-speaking spokesman, Thomas Rosica, addressed the Pope's remarks in a Monday statement. Now and then, in our religious history, prophets arise to call us back to our origins, our roots, and also our intended mission. That is what Pope Francis is doing. His words apply not only to the Roman Curia at the Vatican, but to the entire church throughout the world. His words also are valid for many institutions in the world today that lose sight of their original mission. Now, let me just add that pictures have been shown where the Pope was carrying a lamp. Now, you could look at this in two different ways. Jesus Christ, of course, our Savior, is carrying us as his lambs, his sheep. But at the same time, Christ is the Lamb of God, referred to many times as such in the Bible. And when the Pope was visiting Latin America, the reports were saying that people were shouting at him, saying, "You are Christ, you are the Son of God." And the reports didn't say that he repudiated that. Now, the Bible tells us there are going to be false prophets among us. They may charm the people, but they will not teach the people God's word. They will not teach the people the truth from the Bible. But before I go on, let me also quote from Deutsche Welle, dated December 23, saying this. This is a speech without historic precedent, church historian Alberto Meloni told the Associated Press. Marco Politti, a Vatican expert, said that Monday's address was a frontal attack against the enemies inside the Curia and could be seen as one last warning before a direct confrontation. And of course, we also know that Pope Francis has started to look into the corrupt financial dealings within the Vatican. But you see, we must not be confused when it comes to religious people who might have a charming appearance. We have to look at what they say. We have to look at what they teach. And let's make no mistake, the Catholic Church under Pope Francis will not change the fundamental doctrines which are opposed to what the Bible says. Let me quote to you from Zenit, a Catholic news agency, dated December 21, saying this. Jesus is coming this Christmas. In the today of the liturgy, the Pope explained, the Word who dwelt in the virginal womb of Mary in the celebration of Christmas comes to call anew the heart of each Christian. Jesus, he said, comes to bring to the world the gift of peace. The precious gift of Christmas is peace, and Christ is our true peace. Now, my friends, Christmas has nothing to do with the Bible. Christmas has nothing to do with Christ. Christ wasn't born on December 25. Christmas was a pagan holiday the Gentiles kept to worship their sun gods. And God tells us in his word that we should not worship him in the way the pagans worshiped their gods. So now, if we are looking for true changes within the Catholic Church and all the Protestant churches which are pleasing to God, then let me list a few. They would have to repudiate their unbiblical change from the biblical Sabbath, Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, to Sunday, another day which was held and kept to worship sun gods. They would have to do away with Christmas, with Easter, with New Year's. They would have to stop teaching the Trinity, because God is not a Trinity. God consists of two personages, the Father and the Son, who work through the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is not a person. They would have to do away with the concept of the immortal soul, the idea that we go to heaven or to hell when we die. Rather, they would have to adopt the weekly Sabbath. They would have to adopt, again, the annual holy days, which the Bible clearly lists, including the Feast of Tabernacles, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Trumpets, and so on, Passover instead of Easter. They would have to teach that God is a family, that it is our potential to become God beings in that family. Now, that's something the Bible actually clearly makes a point, and of course the Catholic Church had at times even taught that too, that it is the potential of man to become God, but you don't hear that too much anymore today, do you? They would have to teach the truth of the resurrection, that when you die, you are asleep in the grave, awaiting without consciousness the resurrection from the dead, which only Jesus Christ can bring, and he will bring when he returns. They would have to do all these things. They would have to make all these changes. And if they did, believe you me, I would be one of the first who would report them to you. But I don't anticipate that to happen. Now, don't you be deceived. Don't you follow people who may charm you because of their personality, but who may not teach you the truth based on Scripture. And to help you a little bit with that, why don't you ask for our free booklet on man's holidays and God's holy days? We are in the Christmas season and now New Year's is coming up soon. Should you keep those days? Or does the Bible tell you something altogether different? Please ask for these free booklets. And we have other literatures as well. And it's no obligation, no request for money. Please do yourself a favor if you want to learn and understand the truth. And until next time, this is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.